Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Guy Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach me with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about being a strong nation. We read in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 17 and 18. This is in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, starting in verse 17. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do?" Verse 18. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Time had run out for the Jews to be a strong nation when they rejected Jesus as their king and crucified him. The apostles confirmed that God had authorized the gospel going to the Gentiles through those qualified to teach and make disciples. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The word "strong" in Strong's is number 1743. It comes from some other words, which means to empower, enable, increase in, strengthen, or make strong. Timothy was told he had to increase in the grace in Christ Jesus. Timothy was following and assisting Paul, but now he had to be the example. Leaders in the church have to be strong in the grace for others to see what life on the narrow way looks like using the gift of eternal life. Every generation needs an example. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. This is in 1 John chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 14. "I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Verse 17. "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." God can make a strong nation out of those following Christ, starting with the eyewitnesses of Christ, the fathers. John was also writing to the younger generation who were strong, overcoming the evil one. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 12. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." For those who've repented of dead works, there is grace to overcome. Those who use grace and truth to get to the root of sin and repent are truly wise. Those changing through grace and conviction are qualified to teach and help others. David said in the Psalms chapter 71 and verse 3. This is the Psalms, chapter 71 and verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Start by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Do not rely on earthly wisdom. He is love, and you can overcome trials and difficulties with the help of the Holy Spirit. Paul continued in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy was told to use Paul's testimonies of life on the narrow way, as his own testimonies as a young man were not enough to counter the rampant outgrowth of wickedness in the church at the time. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 21, this is in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James 1 and verse 21 says, so get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls. All those on the narrow way have a personal testimony of acknowledging God and establishing Jesus as functional Lord of their lives. They may lose something in this world, but gain something eternal instead. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and read verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, verse 16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I confirmed not with flesh and blood. Paul did not wait for some special approval from Jerusalem, as his life changed, and Christ was being formed in him. This is what happened at Paul's conversion. He was known as Saul at the time. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 13 to 20. I'm reading. This is in the book of Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. Verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou came, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. Verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Paul was not afraid of suffering. Many are willing to suffer for a career pursuing worldly interests, but not to do his perfect will. Suffering is involved in any task, especially if you're running out of time. If you are doing his perfect will, whatever you need is available in the kingdom of God through hearing his voice. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'm reading verses 1 to 13. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. I'm starting in verse 1. Lo, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander to the people. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that you knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing with where I sent it. Verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. God is communicating his perfect will for all his children. Not everyone has ears to hear because they're too busy acquiring things that have no eternal value. God establishes an everlasting covenant with those who, 1, recognize that God is speaking all the time. 2, come to Jesus and listen carefully. 3, use the fact that his grace is there to get to the root of their sins. 4, return to the Lord and remove any lies hindering the lordship of Jesus Christ in their own lives. God will abundantly pardon those who make him Lord. He sends down his word for those who are doers of his word. If you cannot hear God, instead, through conviction, recognize what caused you to get in the flesh and sin and do things contrary to the truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 to 8. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm starting in verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Verse 6. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Verse 7. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Paul started following Jesus on the narrow way immediately. Some say that they would do what Jesus said if only they knew what he was telling them to do. However, this is often an excuse for not seeking the truth and dealing with bad fruit that is clearly seen. Paul also said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. This is in the book of Acts chapter 17. I'm reading verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Jesus is Lord. And if you don't know what God wants you to do, start by asking God what he does not want you to do. It might be that God says stop arguing, for example. It takes two people to argue, so if you don't argue with anyone else, you will never have an argument again. The reason you continue to argue and debate is because you have not crucified your flesh. The gifts are not the sign of maturity, but the fruit of the Spirit is. You should have made significant changes in your life since salvation. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Churches preoccupied with different ministries and promoting the gifts of the Spirit, blessings, and promises without the conditions are seeking vainglory. Those following a great Christian leader are not always following Christ. Some get lazy doing their first works and rely on the anointing of the person doing the work, and the ministry dies in one generation. God's anointing is not available if you get in the flesh. Christ was anointed, and this is what's available when you're abiding in Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. In the Living Bible, Colossians 2, 9 to 12 says, for in Christ there is all of God in a human body. So you have everything when you have Christ, and you are filled with God through your union with Christ. He is the highest ruler with authority over every other power. When you came to Christ, he set you free from your evil desires, not by a bodily operation of circumcision, but a spiritual operation, the baptism of your souls. For in baptism you see how your old evil nature died with him and was buried with him. And then you came up out of death with him into a new life because you trusted the word of the mighty God who raised Christ from the dead. All you need is available in Christ. More power and more authority is not available without more repentance. The power of the Holy Spirit is available for you to overcome the flesh. Those who have a strong love relationship with God are circumcised by Christ and rely on him for everything. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, This is in the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Those circumcised by Christ are rejoicing all the time. Look at the fruit in your life. Do you complain? Do you still have a confidence in the flesh and use your own mind? Serving the flesh will make you weak. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. I'm reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. In the Living Bible, 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 to 5 says, But the Lord is faithful, and he will make you strong and guard you from satanic attacks of every kind. And we trust the Lord that you are putting into practice the things we taught you, and that you always will. May the Lord bring you into an ever deeper understanding of the love of God and of the patience that comes from Christ. Those with doubts about the narrow way leading to life fear evil. Those actively following Christ are seeking his commands out of love. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Perfect your love for God now without any fear. It's possible to ask God about everyday issues like what to wear and what to eat and when. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 12 to 15. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. God is interested in every part of your life. Everything you do should be motivated out of love, because no one in the kingdom of God is self-seeking. Paul continued in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. I'm reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Verse 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Verse 9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 to 10 says, Now we charge you, brethren, in the name and on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that you withdraw and keep away from every brother, fellow believer, who is slack in the performance of duty and is disorderly, living as a shrinker, and not walking in accord with the traditions and instructions that you have received from us. For you yourselves know how it is necessary to imitate our example. For we were not disorderly or shrinking of duty when we were with you. We were not idle, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and struggle we worked day and night, that we might not be a burden or impose on any of you for our support. It was not because we did not have a right to such support, but we wished to make ourselves an example for you to follow. For while we were yet with you, we gave you this rule and charge: if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Do not accept a free handout because of personal circumstances, but be prepared to work hard with your own hands. According to Paul, even those who are disadvantaged or getting older can do something. Everyone needs to be strong in the grace, even if they do not have a high calling. There is grace where you are now, but no grace for you to stay at the same spiritual level. Those who have irregular morals have departed from the truth for the sake of their flesh. Those who are lukewarm are inconsistent. Those who are cold spiritually use the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead, so their flesh is comfortable. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The mind of those who think just in terms of right and wrong have not been renewed. No one will ever be saved by keeping the law or doing good works. You now have the possibility to get in Christ, become sons of the living God, led by the Spirit." Paul used the grace to change through conviction and repentance. You can learn what pleases God too by having your senses exercised regularly. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 to 17. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 11. "Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place." Verse 12. "And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless; being persecuted, we suffer it." Verse 13. "Being defamed, we entreat; we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." Verse 14. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you." Verse 15. "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Verse 16. "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Verse 17. "For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul should have had some financial support. However, it was more important for the sake of the church for him to be an example of trusting God, working with his own hands. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" Verse 2. "This only would I learn of you: receive you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Verse 3. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Verse 4. "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain?" The word vain in Strong's is probably from another word, meaning the idea of failure, idly, that is, without reason or effect, without cause, or vainly. In the Message Bible, Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 to 4 says, "Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? for only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. Expect conviction and correction under grace, as you now have access to the mind and heart of God through the Holy Spirit. Conviction was too much for the Galatians as they listened to a wrong voice because of their flesh. If you are a new creation in Christ, transformation will not continue if you follow a set number of rules instead. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 16. And of his fullness have you all received grace for grace. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Compare what came through Moses with what came through Jesus Christ. Hearing the truth through the written word is good if it makes you uncomfortable. Conviction is a blessing, and you need to see it that way. Now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can get to the root of sin, repent, and stop sinning. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 5, I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who are also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but by being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. The leaders that witnessed the sufferings of Christ were the first generation Christians. They knew Christ in what it meant to trust God and be examples of how to take thoughts captive and deny themselves. The standard in the church for everyone is the cross. Jesus had all authority, humbled himself, and did nothing to save himself, even when he was hanging on the cross. He relied on the Father to deliver him by the instructions he received through the Holy Spirit. We read in Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm starting in verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. The church is to be led by those who are hearing God and living on the narrow way, not by those with a formal education. Bible college is the enemy of the true church, and those on the broad way are being used by the devil to mislead God's elect. Peter continued in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 11. I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 7. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By remaining humble in a period of suffering, you will be strengthened. You'll be uncomfortable on the narrow way, in the natural, but stronger spiritually. If you're born again, use the ability to hear God and ask more questions and change anything he shows you. Stay humble and you get more grace. Use your faith in God the same way Jesus used his faith in God and keep to his commands. If you do not, then the devil will get access. There is nothing God cannot prevent in his power. He can stop the devil, but does he need to do this for you all the time? Are you still a baby? If you're following Christ's example of asking God everything, the devil will never get access. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Verse 6. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He relied on the Spirit for every decision. Those who want to make decisions with their own mind do not believe in their hearts that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. If you have doubts about the need to ask God everything, repent and make sure you enter the kingdom of heaven before time runs out. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Through grace and mercy, turn to the Lord. Take time to repent deeply. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin, but now through the work of the Holy Spirit, you can get to the root of sin and repent of the lies you have believed. If you really repent of something, you don't do it again. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The day of no repentance is coming soon. This is either when you die or when Jesus appears. When eternity starts, what you are at the beginning is what you will be at the end. Those excusing sin are not wise. What you fail to do now will affect your position in eternity. The judgment for believers has already started through conviction. God sees the end from the beginning, and he corrects you accordingly through the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not the same as you using your own understanding, trying to come to truth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You may have resisted God's chastening, trying to get you ready. His ways are not man's ways. Make no excuses because of the pressure that comes from living on the narrow way. If you take matters into your own hands, the grace will stop flowing. God is in control. Those strong in the grace can easily live on the narrow way and learn obedience through their mistakes. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 25, this is the book of James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 25, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In the Message Bible, James 1:25 says, but whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. The law of liberty is like daily traffic laws you need to function in the kingdom of God while on this earth. The law of liberty is not the letter of the law, but God's counsel that takes everything into consideration for the perfecting of the saints. This includes some suffering for those who are mature enough to handle it. The early church did not have the letters of Paul, but they had Paul as a living epistle of the narrow way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. Looking into the perfect law of liberty is like studying what he has shown you through conviction and revelation personally. With fear and trembling, make sure you limit yourself to what he confirms and allows. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 to 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge. And if one died for all, then we all died. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If God would tell you to do something that was impossible for you to do, he will be causing you to sin. Use the grace to keep his commands and instructions and repent of whatever he shows you on the narrow way. He is always faithful to complete what he started in you through conviction. In the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, 13 to 17 says, are we insane to say such things about ourselves? If so, it is to bring glory to God. If we are in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Whatever we do, it's certainly not for our own profit, but because Christ's love controls us now. Since we believe that Christ died for all of us, we should also believe that we have died to the old life we used to live. He died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might live no longer for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ who died and rose again for them. So stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them, or by what they seem to be like on the outside. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself. How differently I feel now. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. The word of truth is not the written word. If you study the written word using your mind, it will bring death and not life. You must rely on the convicting and correcting word and by faith start repenting. Paul saw two types of people in the church. Number one, those using the grace to change. And number two, those resisting and going backwards. Use a notebook to keep a record of what God said and your progress in repentance and how your life has changed up to now. You should be more Christ-like over a period of time through repentance. God will show you a way to stop sinning. Jesus said to the religious leaders in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. Verse 29. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. Verse 30. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Verse 31. Whether of them two did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterwards, that you might believe him. You are in a race. And someone who comes to repentance after committing sin can enter the kingdom of God ahead of you. If you believe the truth about your sin, you will repent deeply. For you to commit any sin, you have to believe lies about God. Take over the Lordship. If you compare yourself with someone else, you will not repent. Compare yourself with Christ, who always obeyed. Only those who do the will of God will be ready for his kingdom and the first resurrection. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 10, on the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, on page 144, Joseph Hitchcock writes, It's not enough to go to church and do good works in Jesus' name. You cannot play games with God. Grace can be dangerous if you believe it will last forever. At the end, grace will stop, and you will stand before God in judgment. Justice will be done. Honor will be given where it's due. But there are those who will suffer loss. It is not enough to call Jesus Lord. You must do the will of the Father. You cannot live in the kingdom of heaven and do what you want when you want. Jesus is Lord now, and he provided grace and truth for you to learn a new way of life with him in control. You don't need to make any provision for the flesh. Those in the flesh will not get help they need until they humble themselves first. They will hear, repent, repent, on God's emergency channel, but those in the spirit will have dialogue. Confess your sin and immediately come into his presence by grace through faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 32 to 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Verse 34, awake to righteousness, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 9, on the importance of lordship, on page 136, Joseph Hitchcock writes, if you go to Bible school or seminary, and they actually teach truth, you are still not capable of processing it in your natural mind. You are incapable of understanding truth if you are in the flesh. The only way to process truth correctly is to be in the Spirit where he can teach you. Bible schools and seminaries do not typically teach how to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and walk in the Spirit. They usually teach that he is the Lord, yet they also teach you to make decisions with your own mind, your lordship. You may try to be a good lord, but everything you do from the natural realm is a dead work. In Satan's kingdom, the devil, as an angel of light, will deceive you and others with ways that seem right. The devil may not bring evil thoughts to born-again, spirit-filled ministers, because they would recognize blatant temptations. The devil does use scripture and puts them together in a deceptive way to bring a conclusion that is not the truth. It's a way that seems right from the natural mind. Paul had to deal with some unpleasant believers in Ephesus who were not listening to the Holy Spirit. You now have the best teacher living inside you. Your personal standard should be to repent the first time you hear the word of truth. Conviction is an alarm to wake you up to the fact that you still believe lies. If you believe one lie, you have to accept more lies to cover up the lies you already believe. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. God keeps records of what his saints did previously in a similar situation to you. In the past, those who sinned made excuses, while others, by faith, overcame. All things are possible with God. He's not going to apologize to anyone for our sakes that he had to correct previously. God does not have two standards. If you confess your sin now, he promises he will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We read in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. This is in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The people with Nehemiah building the wall in Jerusalem had enemies. They were not afraid to distribute food. They were rejoicing in difficult times. Your strength comes from your relationship with God. Your life controlled by the Spirit will be pleasing to God. Those who bring joy to the Lord experience his joy too. The joy of the Lord flows out of his heart into yours by the Spirit, so you can experience his joy. David said in the Psalm 16 and verse 11, this is Psalms chapter 16, I'm reading verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The word right hand in Strong's is number 3225. It comes from another word which means the right hand or side, leg, eye of a person or other object as the stronger or more dexterous, locally the south or left-handed right hand side south. Sin will separate you from his presence and cause you to lose the joy of your salvation. If you're faithful in conviction and repentance, he can use you in his right hand. If you have your own opinions and ideas, he cannot use you. We read in the Psalms 89 and verse 13. I'm reading in the Psalms chapter 89 and verse 13. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Without Jesus, Lord of your life, you are not strong, and the devil offers you some short-term happiness instead for you to become account of it. Paul was following Christ on the narrow way. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Don't ignore day-to-day tasks and responsibilities and be faithful. You might feel overwhelmed at times, but these challenges are the basis of God raising you up for fighting giants like Goliath. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 26. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive by him at his will. You have access to the heart and mind of God through the Holy Spirit by grace. On the day of Pentecost, God's power filled those disciples who had been with Jesus and waited for the Holy Spirit. You are safe in his right hand if you hear, get to know, and follow Christ by the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Someone may have told you that you will live forever just because you're born again. This is not the truth. When you came to this earth, you were cut off from God with an eternal spirit, destined to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You were born again through conviction because you confessed and repented of dead works. A dead work is any work he did not tell you to do through the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit to hear God and do his will. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 14. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. This verse describes what happens when Jesus returns to rule and reign on the earth. Those with him are called, chosen, and faithful. The bride of Christ are those in the body of Christ who have maintained Jesus as their first love. You have an invitation to be a saint, but not without temptation. The word in Strong's concordance are as follows. Called is number 2822. It's for another word which means invited, that is appointed, or specifically a saint, called. Chosen is number 1588, comes from another word which means select, by implication, favorite, chosen, or elect. Faithful is number 4103, from another word which objectively means trustworthy, subjectively trustful, or believing. Since you have been born again, if you have taken matters into your own hands or relied on earthly riches to avoid some spiritual experiences, you will not be chosen or faithful. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31. That according as is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. The kingdom of God is here for you to be submitted to God and strong at the same time. God wants you to be a strong nation based on his grace. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. In the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10 says, each time he said no, but I am with you, for that is all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. Now I'm glad to boast about how weak I am. I'm glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power, instead of showing off my own power and abilities. Since I know it's all for Christ's good, I'm quite happy about the thorn and about insults and hardships, persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The less I have, the more I depend on him. Jesus said his strength was made perfect in weakness. All you need is his grace to hear God and do what he says. You will pass your test if you do not lean to your own understanding. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you get a miracle, but then your life stops changing, you could be left behind and miss the first resurrection. Christianity is not just another religion where you get your healing and your salvation and then go back to being Lord of your own life. Jesus is Lord now, and the priority in these days is for you to trust God with all your heart and escape evil. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. When Jesus came the first time, he healed everyone because time was running out and the Jews needed to repent and enter the kingdom of heaven. The works of Jesus confirmed that he was sent by the Father. The Jews did not repent, and the keys of the kingdom were given to a few fishermen and tax collectors, following Jesus, denying themselves, and willing to die for Christ. Those who have been changed following Jesus know at the root of sin is a love for their flesh more than a love for God. James said in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Not everyone who is born again is a servant of the Lord. Many believe a lie that God gave you a brain and he expects you to use it for day-to-day decisions and only ask God about big issues. We read in Proverbs 18, verses 10 to 12. This is Proverbs 18. I'm reading verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, as an high wall in his own conceit. Verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Through believing lies, you will remain ignorant of godly wisdom. God's wisdom is by grace and comes when you stay humble. We read in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I'm reading verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Jesus called the church of Smyrna rich because they had tribulation and became poor for the sake of following Christ. They did not compromise with those who just called themselves God's people, but were still serving the devil through being lord of their own lives. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 19. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree can not bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. On the narrow way, using the gift of eternal life, you can have contentment and godliness. You will be satisfied and devil-free. If you're not following Christ, you're following the devil. There's no third option. If you stay on the broad way, you will die. Only the narrow way leads to life. Get on the narrow way before you die or before Jesus comes, whichever comes first. Build your life on the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 26. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. What is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. In the Message Bible, Luke 9, 23 to 26 says, then he told them what they could expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I will show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? If any of you is embarrassed with me and the way I'm leading you, know that the Son of Man will be far more embarrassed with you when he arrives in all his splendor in company with the Father and the holy angels. Those who've entered the kingdom of heaven are seeking God's perfect will daily. They know that God will take care of their personal needs, so they deny themselves completely. Those who are actively following Christ do not justify getting in the flesh. God knows what he is doing in these last days. He is the master builder. He does not make mistakes. He will have everything ready before eternity starts. We read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and reading verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus as a child had a strong connection to God. You can be strong spiritually too if you are humble. Keep relying on what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Otherwise, you might make a decision that is easier on your flesh. Larger ministries are being shaken financially. The pressure coming now on the earth will expose everything that is not in conformity to the perfect will of God in thought, purpose, and action. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 to 29. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Verse 27, and this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. When cracks appear in your spiritual life during a small amount of pressure, rejoice. These cracks show that there is a weakness in your spiritual foundation or something is missing. A trial or difficulty is not a problem for those firmly rooted in Christ, as they know how to repent and learn. The proud and stubborn perish because they will not repent. Paul said in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I'm reading verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch got ready for eternity. So can you, by diligently seeking him. Enoch did not have a mentor or spiritual leader, but he saw how God reached out to Cain to help him overcome the sin crouching at his door. Enoch was inspired to use God's grace and mercy to change. David said in the Psalms 19, verses 1 to 5. I'm reading in the Psalms, chapter 19, starting in verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Verse 2. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Verse 4. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Verse 5. Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Like the heavens that bring him praise, you should be excited every day to do God's perfect will, using resources available in the kingdom of God now. Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Carnal Christians seek peace and joy based on worldly gain or better circumstances. God's peace and joy is available for everyone living on the narrow way to hear God's voice clearly and obey him without any distractions. You need to stay in right standing with God by doing His will to experience the kingdom of God in all areas. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. I'm reading the book of Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Wherefore he says, "Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 17. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." By listening to the demands of the flesh, you will make wrong choices. If you do feed the flesh, you have to correct what you have done and redeem the time. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. We read in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 to 22. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. I'm starting in verse 19. "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory." Verse 20. "Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." Verse 21. "And thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." Verse 22. "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time." The word "strong" in Strong's is number 6099, a passive participle of a word for powerful, by implication numerous, that is, more than feeble, great, mighty, must, or strong. The bright presence of the Lord will be the main source of light in eternity. There'll be no time for sleeping. The saints will awake all hours, doing the will of God like the angels, and not get tired. Eternity is coming, and you'll not be idle. All of mankind was designed to be in his right hand, doing what he says. Those passively strong are overcoming temptation now. By faith, you can get a foretaste of this life, doing the work God directs you to do now out of love. In the Living Bible, Isaiah 60, verse 22 says, "The smallest family shall multiply into a clan. The tiny group shall be a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will bring it to pass when it's time." On paths of righteousness that He directs through the Holy Spirit, trust in God, you are safe. If you have a habit of leaning to your own understanding, this will open a door again to the carnal nature. In this case, your faith needs to be purified, and God can help you with that through conviction. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, this is in the book of Romans chapter 12, I'm reading verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, Romans 12 and verse 3 says, "For by the grace, the unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him." For more information on the fear of the Lord, please read the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, Chapter 10, On the Beginning of Knowledge and Wisdom. When you first experience his love through the forgiveness of sin, you should have put on Christ, did you? Without the fear of the Lord, you will become wise in your own eyes again and not be delivered from evil. The reverential fear of the Lord is part of the foundation through repentance from dead works. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:11, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 13, on Questions and Answers to Help You, on page 213, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The devil baits his snares with lies that are disguised as truth. In order to lead you to the bait and the snare, he brings thoughts that seem right to your mind. Those thoughts may be facts or even scriptures about a certain subject that you are interested in. He'll bring thoughts in ways that lead you into deception while leaving out other critical facts or scriptures. He does this to bring you to conclusion, the bait in the snare, that is a lie rather than the truth. Once you believe his conclusion on the subject, you release your faith into it. The trap is sprung and you are taken captive in his snare. He has stolen the truth from you on that specific subject. From that time on, you think you have the truth, so you stop searching for any more revelation on that subject. This is the bad news. The good news is that God still loves you, even when you are deceived, and he wants you to be free. God wants you to overcome. Being overcome by sin will cause doubts in your mind, hinder you from trusting God with all your heart. Do not deceive yourself. God can hold back any consequences of sin to give you more time to establish a solid foundation and repent deeply. Use the grace of God. One, to remove the devil's accesses in your flesh through repentance. Number two, walk in the Spirit consistently by faith. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit so we could do the will of the Father by grace through faith. The standard has been raised, and you will need to raise your aim. Conviction is a blessing, and everyone should compare themselves to Christ and become a living sacrifice on the narrow way using the precious promises of God. Those who are strong in the grace of God. Number one, get back in the presence of God almost immediately. Number two, can dialogue with God. Number three, have the joy of the Lord. Number four, have a strength that works when they are not strong. Number five, do not rely on worldly wisdom to make decisions. And number six, get godly solutions instead by grace through faith. Truth is an invitation to freedom. When you accept the correction and through conviction reject lies, your faith returns to you. You can then release your faith into the truth, revealed by the Holy Spirit. We read in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32. This is in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, I'm reading verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecott. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily. Experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance. Then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecott. If you want to grow up spiritually and not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecott. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity. based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad way. If you know that you've resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been sharing about being a strong nation. And I believe that if you're a child of God, you can experience what that means right now by the Spirit. You will experience His grace and His power if you just don't resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You'll grow quickly. You'll be changed. You'll be able to do so much more than you've ever done before. If you allow God to change your attitude, change your motive, most of what I'm sharing with you today is just motive and attitude. And if you can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And my heart is for you today, is for you to be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Abide in Him, make no excuses, and seek His perfect will for your life, and He will provide everything else you need. Let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, for those who you are doing such a wonderful work in right now, through this message and through them just following you. Father, I pray they will be empowered, not with any human strength, but as they humble themselves and seek your face and bring thoughts under control and just listen to what you have to say and what you direct, that you will enable them and make a way of escape. In Jesus' precious name. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And please, after this program, you will find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. We would love to hear from you and know that you are walking consistently with the Lord. Please get in touch. God bless you, and thank you for listening.